Associate Deputy Administrator of Veterinary Services and a deputy to Dr. Clifford at USDA, so we really appreciate his willingness to be on the call today. So I'll turn over to Secretary Northey for a quick update of the situation in Iowa.
Thank you all for being on. Appreciate your attention on the issue. You guys, folks, were all aware. We first had our avian influenza, our first case, 2 weeks ago. It was a turkey case, followed by a second turkey case the end of this last week. Our first egg case was a week ago. We have a total of about 80,000 turkeys that have been impacted. The first barn has been depopulated. The second barn will be depopulated this week. The first barn was the Buena Vista County farm. The second was a Sac County farm. Then we had the first egg case in Osceola County in northwest Iowa. That's 3.8 million layers. I'm very appreciative of all the work with USDA. USDA has a team in the area that is doing much of the direct contact on the depopulation and disposal of the birds and the cleanup of the site and doing a lot of heavy lifting there. We have been brought into those conversations, certainly have the opportunity to be able to influence direction, been great partners in all this. There's a lot of things that need to be thought about when you're depopulating a site like this. Then today, you may have noticed, probably are because you're on this call, that we announced some other cases as well. We had a egg farm in Osceola County with 250,000 birds. That was put under quarantine this weekend with a probable high pathogenic avian influenza. We've not received the confirmation, but we're quite sure that that's a positive case. That's a pullet farm. Those are chickens that are going to be layers. So that's a pullet farm that would later fill a layer barn. The O'Brien County farm is a 240,000 bird farm, two different barns. That is a new positive as well that came on Saturday, or confirmation, or at least the initial test of the probable highly pathogenic H5 came on Saturday. And then we have a second O'Brien County farm as well, just under 100,000 birds. That's listed as 98,000 layers. Those are both layer farms, smaller layer farms, certainly smaller than that other big farm that came last week, both listed as positives. And then we have a Sioux County operation as well. It's 1.7 million layers. That's our first Sioux County find. That is a farm that just became positive, actually, I believe, yesterday. Quarantine went on, presumptive positive, still with final confirmation, but certainly treating it as a very likely case of H5, we assume, in the end, N2, but we haven't got that confirmation yet. And then I need to as well announce that there's another Sioux County farm that is 3.7 million layers that also has turned in a presumptive positive, a probable case of H5 as well. And so those two farms, between them are another 5.5 million birds. That takes us in total, by the time you look at the layer facilities, to about 9.5 million layers that are either confirmed positive or presumptive positives, and that's up to the minute report. I do not know right now, and I'm to handle that question that I'm sure will come, are there others out there? I'm not aware right now of other cases, but we don't often know until the cases come back. Sometimes the farmers deliver these tests or these samples to be run to either the university or in NVSL, the USDA facility, directly, and then we find out the results of that And that's the first we found that they've moved. Other cases, we are the ones actually delivering. So I'm not aware of anything that we have in the process of delivery right now. So that's our cases right now. I think we talked before about the about some of the concerns. Let me turn this over to Dr. Myers as well. Dr. Myers, do you have some things to share, either some more background or maybe the view from USDA and what's going on the broader national scale that would be of interest to folks?
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today. This has certainly been a challenging past couple of months for the U.S., and Iowa is just one example of how tough this situation can be. However, I think it is a testament to the surveillance program that we have in the U.S. that we are finding these cases and able to respond to them very quickly. We have a good collaborative association between USDA, the states, and industry to monitor and test domestic poultry, be that commercial facilities or live bird markets. We also advertise and strongly encourage backyard flock owners to report sick birds, and we also do the same in evaluating die-offs in wild birds. And in fact, our first isolation in the U.S. of highly pathogenic avian influenza back in December was from a wild bird. So that surveillance program is effective and has allowed us to identify all of these cases. We've also done a lot over the last few years to prepare for high path AI. We do have avian influenza response plans on our website, our APHIS website. I'd encourage you to look at those if you haven't already. And we do have experience in responding to avian influenza. We've only had three other outbreaks of highly pathogenic avian influenza in the past century in the U.S., and the most severe prior to what we're dealing with currently was in 1983, and at that point, and that was in Pennsylvania and in the Shenandoah Valley, we ended up depopulating about 17 million birds in that outbreak. Currently, we've depopulated about 7 million birds, and as Bill has indicated, there's certainly more that are in the queue now that we're identifying these additional cases. As part of that response, along with the states, we take very aggressive action. Bill has already mentioned the quarantines that are in place at a presumptive positive. We set up a control area around those presumptive cases. Once those cases are identified, humanely depopulate the flock as quickly as we can, and we do provide indemnity funds to producers to compensate at least for the value of the birds. It certainly doesn't compensate for all of their losses. But to date, since December, we've provided approximately $60 million in indemnities so far. Along with that depopulation, then, we monitor and do surveillance around affected premises. We disinfect, clean infected premises, and test the area before any repopulation of that could possibly take place. Another critical thing that we're doing is our epidemiology evaluation around these cases. And as you'll recall, when these cases were first identified back in December and then on through the earlier months of this year, the real risk that we identified was highly pathogenic avian influenza in wild birds, and that being the source of the infections that we have in poultry. So we are continuing to evaluate how facilities become positive, because we also want to be cognizant of any potential risk for lateral spread from farm to farm. So we are doing those evaluations as we speak. We don't have enough data really to report on that yet, but I know that question has come up several times, and I just wanted everyone to be aware that we are looking at that possibility. We're going to continue to support the states and producers in dealing with this, as Bill has mentioned. We're also working with Congress, the department is, to make sure that we have sufficient funding to address the issue and provide this much-needed safety net to the poultry producers who are experiencing these economic hardships. A couple of points I want to make before I close, and that is to remind everyone that CDC considers the risk of infection by avian influenza to people in this particular situation to be to be very low. These viruses have not shown any tendency to infect people, so that is very good news. Also, with the surveillance that I've described and our rapid response, it's highly unlikely that any meat from affected poultry would get into the food supply. So again, is an important point to remember. Also, consumers have, within their power, the ability to make sure that that poultry and eggs are safe to eat by thorough cooking. And that's true for any handling of those products, be it for whatever reason. And then lastly, just a reminder about biosecurity. Again, the initial introduction and threat has been highly pathogenic avian influenza in wild birds. That is still a risk and a concern. So part of biosecurity needs to be making sure that poultry producers, whether they're commercial producers or backyard producers, should do all that they can to prevent any contact between wild birds and poultry, and then also making sure that anything from the contaminated environment isn't tracked into the poultry house, whether that's through human foot traffic or trucks or equipment, making sure that we're trying to prevent any entry of the virus into poultry facilities. So with that, Bill, I'll end my comments and turn it back to you.